All right, so here we go. Luke 18, 18 to 30. And a ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "It is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven. For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And Peter said, "See, we have left our homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there was no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many more times in this time and in the age to come eternal life." All right, so the bottom line you've got at the bottom of your handout, if you get none else, it's the same plan, more plain. Same plan, more plain. We're not talking about a prairie. Same plan, more plain. Once you get that written down, we're going to pray together, and then we're going to get after it. All right, same plan, more plain. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word today. God, thank you so much for middle school students. God, for the awesome age of sixth grade to eighth grade. Thank you for puberty and cracking voices and first-time mustaches. God, we thank you so much for all you want to do in and through this room. And God, thank you so much for deodorant and the blessing that it is. Would it be spread into abundance under the armpits of teenage boys? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's start 18 to 19, first one, and then we're going to kind of work through again. We're just going to kind of take these verses by verses, and I think it'll be really good. All right, so 18 to 19. A ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone." So let's start working from the top. We'll work our way down. The first question we've got, blank on your handout, is what gets me to heaven? What gets me to heaven? Now, that is everybody's question when it comes to following Jesus. What gets me to heaven? Now, here's how I want to frame all of this morning. Tyler Batten and I, we go to lunch every week on Thursday. It's at 1 o'clock. We meet at Jose Locos at Glenstone and Chestnut. We eat Mexican food together. It's awesome. All right? So Tyler and I have spent some day together for like the last 6 years, and so now it's Thursdays at lunchtime, and then we just have lunch, talk Jesus, review kind of what happened in the high school service, how do we go forward. And so this last week, we were sitting down to lunch, and we started talking about kind of the night of miracles. And so I don't know if you were here this last Wednesday. God did some really visibly awesome things in saving people. Like, there were many people who got saved Wednesday night. There's a lot of stuff that we kind of have to work through and process. Okay, what does that mean going forward? So there's a lady who says she had really strong ovarian cancer, and she wasn't able to bend over. So we were praying for her that she'd be healed and delivered. And so in that night, she was able to bend over completely, touch her toes, which she hadn't done in years. So I don't know if that means God healed her of ovarian cancer. That's kind of where I say we're waiting. There's a lady who was a greeter out here in the hallway during this service who came up to me and said, "Hey, I want to thank you for Wednesday. I have MS, and I've had a lot of issues that have caused me to not be able to sleep." She said, "So I came forward, and for the first time, and I can't remember how long, I went to sleep without any kind of medication or any stuff and just slept all the way through the night for the first time ever." I was like, "Well, that's legit." I was like, "How's your MS?" And she's like, "Well, we're still kind of figuring that out." And I was like, okay, now here's the cray-cray one for me, all right? This is the one that I'm like, about. All right, so I prayed for a lot of stuff that I just don't know how it answered. So I prayed for a family whose grandpa was in the hospital. I don't know about that. Haven't seen him today. I prayed for a guy whose dad resigned from his job, sold his house, and by June they have to be out, and he's got to be doing something else. So he's obviously got a lot of nerves about that. So I prayed there. Again, that's in June. Who knows about that one? So then this guy comes up to the front. His name is Sean, and he wanted me to pray for his knee. That his knee has been giving him problems, and so his doctor said, "You need to stop playing sports, and then your knee's eventually going to wear it out, and then we'll replace it." So his mom said, "You better not be playing sports ever." And Sean's just like, "Man, I love sports. I love physical activity. I just don't want to stop doing stuff. So can you pray for me and my knee?" I was like, "All right, that's cool." I was like, "So let's do it like this. What if you and I will pray together up here, And if you're comfortable with it, I'll lay my hands on your knees and then we'll just see what the Lord would do. And he said, okay, I'm cool with that. So we're standing up praying. I'm like, all right, Sean, let's pray for your knee. He's like, are you cool if I lay my hands on your knee? He said, yeah, man, I'm cool. Are you okay if I sit down? I said, yeah. So he sits down in a chair at the front, right? So this is where the part, you've got to understand what I'm saying here in order for you to get the of it. Okay, so he's sitting there, his legs not moving, and I just kind of wrap my hands around his knee like this, right? So my hands aren't moving. So we start praying together, and I'm just down there asking the Lord to do whatever he wants to do and just to walk it out, and then I can feel his knee start moving. Now, it's not like, don't hear like his knee or his is like wrapping around itself or it's some kind of crazy like, thing. I can just feel it moving from side to side, and then I can hear it knocking. So I can hear this in his knee while I'm praying for it. And so I just went, oh, Jesus, we believe that you can heal. Oh my gosh, his knee's moving. Like, that's all me, but there's a lot of stuff going through my brain while I'm processing that. So I stand up, and Sean is crying, right? He's a young man, but he is like letting him go. And so I was like, well, man, just tell me what's up with your knee and, you know, just kind of test it out this weekend and see what happens. So I haven't had a chance to connect with Sean again today. But those are the kind of things that we talk about when we talk about seeing God do work in our lives and the things he wants to advance through us. That's all Jesus. Like, I'm not a miracle worker, right? So it's not me just saying everybody, oh, that's not it at all. But I believe in Jesus, believe Jesus can use me to heal people. And so I just want to do whatever Jesus wants to do. So Tyler and I were talking about it, and Tyler's got one of these friends who's what I would just call occasionally alcoholic. All right, so he'll have these days where he is alcoholic, right? Just cannot stop drinking, drinks all the time, parties all the time, goes through alcohol like you wouldn't believe. And then he'll have these moments with the Lord where he hits rock bottom, vomits everywhere, doesn't know what happened 2 days ago, and then he'll say, all right, I need to get my life back with Jesus. And then he'll have this moment where he gets back with Jesus, and things are going well, and God starts using him again, and then he starts drinking again, and it kind of goes like this, and goes like that, and goes like this. And I just said, man, Tyler, when's this guy going to just like lock it up and say, all right, I'm in, right? That you've had enough of this, and you've had enough of this, and you've had enough of this, And he said, for guys like us who have spent so much time growing up in church and have spent so many days kind of in services and in prayer meetings and all this, he said, what we end up doing is asking the question, what's the bare minimum I can give in order to make it to heaven? Like, what's the least Jesus requires of me? And that's what I want to give, and I kind of want to have freedom everywhere else. So when this guy comes up to Jesus and says, what do I need for eternal life? The question is not, how much can I give you? It's always in bare requirements. And I would say for many of you, the danger in your life is that you would think Jesus is concerned with you meeting the bare requirement. And that's where he's going to go, whew, you barely made it, right? D's get degrees, so thank God you did that, right? That's not how Jesus views anything, right? And it's not, okay, did you meet bare level requirement? What we see in the Gospel of Mark and what Pastor Romy has kind of been walking you through is over and over and over again, Jesus says, the cost is you give me everything. And that's what it means to follow. You let go of everything, and then we'll say, here we go. So Jesus starts to answer the question very simply. Now, this is not the answer. It's just Jesus starting to, he's like, let's take it from the top, all right? So verses 20 and 21, we'll put on the screen. He said to him, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, all these I've kept from my youth. So again, the next blank is everything from youth, all right? Everything from youth. So let's walk through the list. Some of it, it's not hard to believe. Some of it is a bit odd, okay? So the list is don't commit adultery. Shocker that as like a little baby, he wasn't committing adultery, all right? There we are. Don't murder. I'd be concerned about an 8-year-old murderer, right? That's there. The third is don't steal. Now, that gets really easy to do really young, right? It's easy for little kids to steal the toys of other little kids. Just go by the nursery, right? Go by the toddler room. Go see Jude in the 3-year-old room, and I'm going to bet he's going to start working some kids to steal their toy. Why? He wants it, and they have it, right? So the do not steal is where I start to go, the next one, don't bear false witness. So it's you saying something about somebody else that you don't know if it's true, but you're saying like, here's this person, right, like Zachary, right, that I say things about Zach that get him in trouble, that cause me to say, like, this is, I know I can get Zach in trouble by saying this, right? And some of it may be true. It may not all be true, but there's those moments where I can go, here, Zachary, right? Don't bear false witness. So a dovetail of that is like lying, right? So again, kind of hard to say I've never lied from the beginning, right? From birth till now, I've never been a liar. Here's the one that I just want to go, whatever. It's honor your father and mother. Now, you know, and I know, that from birth, you've struggled to honor your father and your mother. And I would say right now, you're struggling to honor your father and mother. So this guy comes to Jesus and says, man, I've done all of this since I was a kid. I've done all of it right, man. I've check. I mean, I'm there, right? So for Jesus, like, you could tell there's this, and he's going to get to another part real quick. But here again, I just want to lift a danger from this text for you, that you're thinking about your relationship with Jesus is all the things you do for him. That how you view your relationship with God is, well, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I have not done this, done this, done this. That you would view your relationship with Jesus as awesome because of what you do or what you don't do. The honest truth is that everything we know about our relationship with God is based on what he's done for us. It's everything about, here's what you've done, here's who I am, and I simply respond to everything you've done for me. So I know a lot of you are like, well, I'm a good kid, Justin. I mean, I don't, like, murder people, right? Okay, check. There's not a lot of people who murder. There's not a lot of murderers in the world. That's why we put them in jail when they do murder, right? So you're, okay, I'm not a murderer. Great. You haven't committed adultery, all right? That's a bit odd for you right now that you would be an adulterer, someone who has sex with another person's husband or wife. That would be a bit odd, right? So, yeah, let's frame it there. Not surprised you haven't committed adultery, right? Don't bear false witness, right? That a lot of times we'll say, well, it's not like a bad lie. It's just a white lie, right? It's a nice lie. It was one that I was like, I just don't want you to feel bad, so I'm going to kind of lie to you a bit, right? You've got that in there. And then honoring your parents. Romans 1 says the fact that you want to disobey your parents is a reflection of your rebellion against God. Oh, right? That it's not like, oh, my mom and dad are such jerks. You dishonoring, disobeying, disagreeing with your parents is you rebelling against God. It's a reflection of that. Duh, dang. So those moments where my mom was like, hey, Justin, I need you to vacuum. And I was like, not doing it, mom. That's an active reflection of me saying, I choose my way over God's way. Right? And so this guy's like, everything from my youth. So maybe you come in and you say, like, I've just been perfect, right? I was born in this church, grown up in this church, been to every one of the Sunday schools in this church. I've seen all the da-da-da-da-da. You can walk through the list of things you've done for Jesus. Here's where Jesus comes at him, verses 22 and 23. When Jesus heard this, I've done all that. He said to him, one thing you still lack, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the rich man heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. So the next blank we've got for you is one thing. One. Uno thing. Ein thing, if you know German. One thing. So Jesus says, all right, here's the deal. Like, you say you've done all these things since you were a baby. You say you've never broken any of the commandments. I mean, all that you've done since you were young. There's one thing that you have. There's one thing you haven't given over to me. There's one thing that you say, this is mine, and you can't touch it. And I would almost guarantee in this room, there's parts of your life that you're not letting Jesus touch. There's parts of your life that you're just not willing to give to him. So you're like, yeah, Jesus, you can have my Sunday. You can have my Wednesday. You can have all that stuff. But if you ask me not to date somebody, you don't get that. Because I just think boys are cute, right? I honestly don't get it if you're a young woman, why a 12 to 14-year-old guy would be awesome to you, right? Because his mom's got to drive him everywhere. Like, you've got straight game when you're hopping out of the minivan, right? Power door. What up, girl? There's just no, Ivor, no game, bro. All right, so that's what happens when that goes, all right? So there's these moments where we'll say, Jesus can have everything but this. And what I would tell you is if you view your relationship with God like he can have everything but, I'm just telling you, you don't know him that well yet. You're still working it. Like, you're convinced, I'm doing enough to make it to heaven. You're not doing enough to follow Jesus. Ergo, not doing enough to get to heaven. Right? And so, we'll play games with Jesus about what we're willing to give him. Right? Well, I gave in the offering, God, so I can keep doing this. All right? Gave you this, God, so I can keep doing this. Like, it's this barter system with the Lord. Right? I attended the 45. I was the only teenager all weekend, so I can fill in the blank. So you'll just do these little tricks that you think God is looking in heaven going, well, since you did, do whatever you want to. And what I'm telling you is our role in our relationship with Jesus is we put everything in his feet and he tells us what we can pick back up. He tells you, yeah, you can keep that. I love that that's in you. Take it. You got that, man. I want to keep using that. You got that, but there's certain stuff you're going to lay down there and you're never going to pick up again. The easiest scenario for me is when it came to video games, all right? So in high school, I was just killing it with video games, right? I've just been really well tactile, and my reflexes are just strong, right? So you sneak up on me, you might get a smack to the face, right? You don't even know what's happening, right? So strong reflexes. So in high school, I think around my sophomore, junior year, I felt like God told me, you need to give up your Xbox, right? And I bought it myself, so it's not like I'm giving this away. I'm like, Lord, you know how much this cost? You know how hard I had to work, Jesus? It's like, ugh. And it was at this service where people were asking, like, what's something that the Lord is calling you to give? And I was like, no, Jesus. Mm-mm-mm. And it was just this, do you love me enough to let the Xbox go? And I said, debatable, yes. Okay, so I said, all right, I'm going to give my Xbox up. My friend calls me and says, hey, our buddy Tim is going to be in the hospital for a long time. He's got this thing that with his back, so he's going to have back surgery. He's going to be in the hospital for a really long time, not really able to move. And I felt like the Lord said to me, you need to give your Xbox to Tim. And I was like, Jesus, it seems a bit odd that you're going to ask me to give it up and give it to some other Christian, that that's okay for them, right? That I have to lay this on the altar, but they get to keep it. I was like, ugh. So I felt like that was true. So I hopped to my, hey, Tim, man, I heard that you were in surgery. The Lord's been telling me to give up my Xbox. So he told me to give it to you. Here's sweet accounts and all of the awesome stuff that I've done. Enjoy it. Right, a bit bitter, walked away. So I go back to my house. I'm like, all right, I gave that to the Lord. Yay. So a couple months go by. I get a little bit more money in my bank account, and I'm like, I'll buy another Xbox. That'll be awesome. So I buy one, right, start playing it. Everything's going great. All of a sudden, the Lord comes back again. Hey, I want you to get rid of your Xbox again. Oh, Jesus, this is twice that I've bought an Xbox, and twice you've come to me saying, give up the Xbox. So give up the Xbox. Give it away to another person who needs an Xbox. And I was like, love you, Lord, right? There's this moment there. So then more time goes by, and then they release the Xbox 360. And I was like, so I buy an Xbox 360, purchased that, right? So I'm now $900 in Xboxes. Okay, so that happens. Have the Xbox for a little while. The Lord let me enjoy that for a bit. And then he was like, hey, Justin, guess what I want again? I was like, let me guess, Lord, the Xbox. And so there was a student in here who somehow it weaved together that he wanted an Xbox, and I said, fine, I'll give you my Xbox. And I just gave it away. And then after that, I haven't purchased another one. Yes. All right. So I think honestly what that was is it was just way too easy for me in light moments to say, like, I don't want to do this. I'll just play video games for a little while. I don't want to go there, so I'll just do this for a bit. And so rather than thinking, how can I spend my time with God, or how can I give this little bit of time to God, I was finding ways to fill little bits of time with video games. And so here's the truth. There is something in your heart that you have not given to Jesus yet. And by not giving it to Jesus, like, he would ask it of you, and you're like, no, thank you. Right? For this guy, it's wealth, right? I'm not giving away all my money, right? But if you know Jesus, right, he is really, really wealthy. Because he made everything by saying it. So if you give Jesus money, doesn't he have the ability to go, and here's more money? Right? Doesn't he have that ability? Doesn't he have to say, I know there was much joy in Xbox, but you give that to me, and look at all the joy that I can give, because I made joy. Right? Isn't it so easy for us to play the game of, well, this is really costly to me, God. I'm not giving it to you. And what I'm telling you is there's something in your soul that may cost a lot, and you're thinking, I'll just hold on to this a little bit. I'm just going to tuck this away in the coves of my heart that the Lord will never ask me. And I've just been praying through the weekend, God, would you just kind of uncove some little things? Would you just take some little covinesses and draw them out? All right, last little passage, and then we'll get ready to cross some worship together. So Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, how difficult it is those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard it said, then who can be saved? But he said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And Peter said, see, you've left our homes and followed you. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many more times in this time and in the age to come eternal life. So the last blank we've got for you is receive much more. Receive much more. So here's what we'll do with that little thing we want to hold on to. We'll say, this costs way too much to give it to you, Jesus. Do you know how much this is for me? No. And we look at how much we're giving away, not how much we're getting. So when God was able to show me, like, I understand that this cost you a lot. I understand you like this a lot. I understand that there's much joy for you in this. But when you give it to me, look what I am giving to you. And when that happened, I said, there's not anything in this world that he could ask me to give that I would say no to now. Because if he is who he says he is, and he can do what he says he would do, that I haven't left anything that he wouldn't give much more to me in this life and in the life to come, then why would I have anything that I would say, nope, not willing to give it to you? Nope, gonna hold on to that. No, you can't have that. That's mine. Because he gives much more. And there's a way that we want to even frame much more, right? Ultimately, the gospel is about you getting Jesus, that you get God himself, and that is the good news of Jesus, that you are a distant foreigner, enemy of God, and he said, by your prayer, by your asking, I've made you friend, and you get me now. You get me in relationship. You get me in communication. You get me in conversation every day. You get me. That you get life, eternal life, and you get it all in the world. So you receive much more there. And then he says, but I want to give to you the Holy Spirit, that not only would you get me and know me and be with me, but that I would give you the Holy Spirit, that it would dwell in you bodily, that it would clothe you with power from on high. So not only are you knowing me and being with me, but I'm going to fill you with the very presence of me, and that you'll be able to walk me out everywhere you go, and that in all things you would know me, have me, be with me, work with me, do the things that I do. So I'll tell you this. Feeling a knee move in your hands as you prayed for someone to be healed is a lot cooler than an Xbox controller going in your hand, right? That random little like, I just got shot, ah, right? It's much cooler to go like, hey, how's your knee? Oh, it's working now. I was like, this is the coolest video game ever played in my whole life, right? That's the way it goes. So the two Trammell boys are going to come up here and get ready to crush, right? They've got a little musical chairs that they're going to play with themselves, right? So you've got piano, bass, guitar. It's just going to be, let's see what they're playing now, all right, for worship today. And if you want to stand to your feet, there's just a couple responses that I feel like for all of us could get us to where we want God to move in our lives today, all right? So stand up to your feet. Here's how we're going to do. All right, I'm going to read the four of them to you, and then we'll take some time to worship and respond to God. The first one would be, if in your heart you're saying, I want eternal life, right? That's the first one. So I want eternal life, whether that's you saying that for the first time, I want eternal life in Jesus, or that's you saying it again, man, I want eternal life in Jesus. We're going to pray that today. The second one would be that if you say that, man, I've kept everything from my youth, like you would say in your heart, man, I'm just doing it perfect. I've been killing it from right now. What I want to just pray for you is that you would get rid of this idea that you doing stuff is what God measures you on. But your relationship with him is how you're measured, all right? The third would be that you're lacking something. There's something you haven't given. There's something you haven't let go of. Or you could say, man, I feel like there's just this hole in me when it comes to my relationship with God. I'm lacking this here or that here. That you just say, man, I need something from Jesus today. That we'd hit you with the third one. And the fourth would be the easiest prayer of all prayers that have ever been prayed. I want more. The easiest, man, if there's more to be had of God, and my promise to you today is that there is, that you have not even come close to touching the surpassing glory, majesty, awesomeness that is Jesus. And if you're just saying, if there's more to be had, I'll take that. That's going to be the fourth one, all right? So let's bow our head and close our eyes, and we're just going to kind of walk through some of these responses today, and then we'll pray together and worship. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's take some moments to pray, and then we'll get after it. So for the first group, that if you're saying today, man, I want eternal life, you're not asking the question, what's it going to take for me to get to heaven, bare minimum, but you're like, I want eternal life that is in Jesus, whether you're going to pray this prayer for the first time or again, go ahead and slip your hand up because I want to pray for you. So if you're saying, I want eternal life, yeah, go ahead and lift your hand up because we're going to pray for you, all right? So I want eternal life. Yeah, thanks to all of you who are raising your hands. That's awesome. All right, for the second group, that you kind of have this I'm a good kid thought. Like, I've been doing everything right. I'm really nice, and I'm really kind, and I've played by all of the rules, and that's how you view your relationship with God, is it's all about keeping his rules. We want to pray for you today, so if that's you, go ahead and lift your hand up, because we want to pray with you. So if you just kind of got this, I'm doing all the right stuff, Jesus, that it doesn't necessarily need to be more than that, but I'm doing all the stuff you asked me to do, God, go ahead and lift your hand up, because I want to pray for you. Yeah, thanks to those of you who are lifting your hands, that's awesome. All right, for the third group, that you would say, I'm lacking something, right? That's either you're holding something back from God, like you recognize he doesn't have everything, or you say, man, there just feels like there's something missing in my relationship with Jesus today. Go ahead and slip your hand up. We want to pray for you. So if you're holding something back from God, or you feel like there's something missing in your relationship with God, we want to pray for you. That's awesome. Yeah, thanks to everybody lifting their hands. And then the last one, the easiest one on the page, if you want more Jesus, that's how we're just going to enter into worship today. It's just saying, I want more of Jesus. That we're just going to be all in our relationship with Jesus. We're going to give everything we have to him. And so if you love Jesus, I think the easiest thing is we want more of him today. So if that's you, go ahead and lift your hand up. We're going to pray together, then we're going to get after worship. So if you're saying, I want some more Jesus, go ahead and